good morning, everyone. Today is March 11th, 2021, and it is a Thursday, and I hope you guys are having a great week. I have a devotional for us today called Made in God's Image. Made in God's Image. How did Hitler convince the generation who would become the Nazis to murder 6 million Jews? Well, it's fairly simple, really. He just convinced them through the propaganda and control of the school's socialist education programs, teaching evolution, that Jews weren't really humans, that they were really animals or subhuman. In his book, When a Nation Forgets God, Pastor Erwin Lutzer writes, I quote, "Hitler believed that the Jews were subhuman, parasites that needed to be exterminated." In a 1923 speech in Munich, he said, "The Jews are undoubtedly a race, but not human. They cannot be human in the sense of being in the image of God, the eternal. The Jews are the image of the devil. Jewry means the racial tuberculosis of the nations." Erwin then goes on to continue saying, "And because they were deemed to be in the same category as animals, Hitler made sure they could be killed without reprisals. He would change the law to ensure that extinguishing the race was not a crime." It's not murder if they're legally not a human, right? Sounds familiar. The same thing is happening in our country with unborn babies every day. However, just because something is legal, like abortion, does not make it moral or lessen the evil of it. There is an unseen law of God that prevails over any man-made laws allowing something evil to be considered legal. Like Hitler and the laws of our land, Satan loves to downplay the preciousness, I guess, how precious humanity is, through the evolutionary lie that we're just another beast that evolved from random matter and processes without a purpose. Satan loves the depressing, dark evolutionary lie that steals purpose, kills dignity, and destroys hope for so many today. He likes to remove the made in God's image part of our identity. In God's Word, however, we find quite the opposite. And the answer to today's many cries of racism, because it reminds us that man is made in God's image as the pinnacle of his creation. After a break in the creation narrative of chapter 1 of Genesis, there is a divine deliberation in the Godhead in Genesis 1:26, where it says this, "Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And so the us and ours in this verse are plural forms of majesty that you'll find even back in Genesis 1:1 that allows for and points to a plurality in the Godhead this early on in the Bible already. It reveals the doctrine of the Trinity in seed form. There are similar dialogues to this one in Genesis 3:22, 11:7, and Isaiah 6:8, where God speaks of himself in a plural form. But the dialogue here is certainly new and surprising to the text, to the creation account text. It tells us that, you know, even though so many days have passed, there's something big that is happening now on the sixth day that didn't happen on the other days with the rest of creation. Mankind's creation is in through this divine deliberation, signifying something special. It's special in comparison to the rest. The plural references to God remind us that God is a relational being. He's relational, even within himself. He is and always has been a God of relationships because he is three persons in one. He's the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the relational essence of God is a great part of what it means to be made in God's image. God is relational. He's a relational being with mind, emotion, and will, and so are we. That's what it means to be made in God's image. We're not like the beast, who primarily functions with other beasts through instinct, but we are uniquely made and have been given authority over the beasts. I mean, we are just much more complex. We have complex personalities created with God's communicable attributes, you know, his nature, his moral likeness. We're able to express love, mercy, grace, and make decisions that are good and righteous, and all of this within the context of relationships, like God, who is a relational being himself. Unlike the animals, we also have a spiritual nature that gives us the ability to have a relationship with God. Of the differences between man and beast, Warren Wiersbe writes, no matter how intelligent some animals may appear to be or how much they are taught, animals are not endowed with the image of God as are humans. Henry Morris also gives us a quote to remember. This is one to write down. Plants possess a body and animals a consciousness, but man was also to possess a third created entity, the image of God, an eternal spirit capable of communion and fellowship with his creator. You know, when he painted the creation of Adam in the Sistine Chapel, Italian Renaissance artist Michelangelo depicted God as outstretched with his hand extended to a lounging and lackadaisical Adam who receives God's touch of life. But from Genesis 2:7, some of you guys might recall that painting. If you don't, look it up. It's interesting because it pictures God as stretched out, kind of distant from Adam, barely touching him. But when you look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, you find a thorough account of this act of creation where God formed Adam from the dust of the ground, like with clay with his hands, and then very personally and almost awkwardly breathes into Adam's nostrils the breath of life. And I don't mean to demean Michelangelo's work of art, but the creation account is quite the opposite in its personal touch of God. It's not God from a distance barely touching Adam. In Genesis, it's like God is right there. He's in his face breathing into, almost awkwardly and personally, Adam's nostrils. And he was formed with God's hands from the clay. It's a very personal picture in Genesis. It tells us that, you know, in contrast to the Sistine Chapel painting, God is very personal with man, and we were made by him and for him, awkwardly, up close, and personal. Now, if society really believed that mankind was made in God's image, in the image of God, what problems do you think that would solve? I mean, what are the consequences of believing what evolution teaches, that we're made in the image of lesser animals as an accident, without a purpose, without dignity? Even the animals lose their dignity in evolution. What would be the consequences of believing such a notion, such a theory, a hollow and empty philosophy? Well, you're seeing it today. You're seeing it today. There is a struggle for the dignity of mankind, even though there's nothing to base it on. Because without a belief in God, nothing is really unconditionally wrong. As Christians who stand, though, firmly on the word of truth, firmly and lovingly, we proclaim, as the preamble to the Declaration of Independence does, what our forefathers understood. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness are not possible without the belief in God and in morals. And so we stand firmly and lovingly on the truth that no matter who it is, every man is made in the image of God and for a relationship with him. Being made in his image is the basis for the protection of all lives, no matter what. Actually, the first form of human government, capital punishment, was established on the fact that man is made in God's image. And if anyone sheds man's blood, Genesis 9, 6 through 7 says, by man his blood shall be shed. Why? Because God created man in his image. The world before the flood was a disaster. It was chaos. Mankind was tearing itself apart. And after the flood, in Genesis chapter 9, God institutes human government. He establishes human government, capital punishment, to see to it that lives are not destroyed who have been made in God's image unnecessarily. God is serious about the sanctity of every human life. Because of sin, our relationship with God has been fractured, and the image of God in man has been marred. But it has not been totally destroyed, and God himself has provided the remedy for man to have an up close and personal relationship with him again by taking on the flesh of mankind himself through the Virgin Mary, being born of the Holy Spirit, and his name was Jesus Christ. And he lived the perfectly sinless life. He was the perfect Adam who never sinned, and he died for our sins on the cross so that whoever believes in him will have everlasting life with God, starting now through a personal born-again relationship with him and for eternity. Have you placed your faith in Christ today?